Proverbs 21 and verse number 15. Let's all read together that verse, Proverbs 21, verse number 15. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Thank you, Lord, for the promises and the instruction, the light, the hope, Lord, you give us in your word. I pray again, you'll bless this time as we look into your word. Teach us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
If you're taking notes, the title for tonight's Bible study is simply this: You Are What You Are Becoming. Let me say it again. You are what you are becoming. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? I think you'll see in a moment exactly what I'm talking about. And this is an important lesson, of course, for Solomon to teach his boy Rehoboam. And even though Rehoboam was not yet king, he someday would be king. He would not be a good king. He did not listen to his father's advice. He did not take his father's advice. He did not follow his father's teaching to him. And Solomon was teaching him that he would grow the way he was bent. Psychology today uses the word bent quite often. A bent is a direction in which a person, they fall in that direction. And many parents are encouraged to teach their children to follow their bent in life. In other words, their strength that they may have. There's a problem with that, though, because if his bent is bent the wrong way, he's going to go the wrong way. And so that bent has to be, that has to be taught. It has to be disciplined. And that popular teaching is that today. And what is a bent? Let me just give you a definition. It's a predetermined direction for our lives. You were born with a gift. You were born with a strength. You were born with a weakness. You were born with different things. And of course, we have to understand that we have those tendencies in our lives. But none of us are naturally bent the right direction. That's the problem. We're not bent the right direction. I think many years ago, I talked about a bent and I held up my hand like this with my finger bent. And sometimes we're just bent the wrong way. The Bible even teaches us that. You don't have to turn there. But if you're taking notes, you might want to write down the references. They're there. For example, Genesis chapter 6 at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's a wrong bent, but it's a bent. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. One of my favorite verses to use when I am witnessing to someone is Ecclesiastes 7:20. Where the word of God says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Even our best intentions are tainted with our sin nature. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we, that's interesting, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And of course, Jeremiah 17:9, known by most, I should say many Christians, as they think about the heart of man. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is beyond human repair. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that, look at the word, all have sinned. We have a natural bent that goes the wrong way. So it has to be trained. It has to be disciplined in some way. I mean, it's like the unwise parent who says, oh, I don't tell my children about going to church. I let them make up their own mind. I don't tell them what to believe. I let them make up their own mind. I don't teach them right from wrong. I let them make up their own mind. How foolish that is for any parent or grandparent or friend or teacher or Sunday school teacher or even a preacher who would have that kind of godless, ungodly, worldly philosophy. You see, we have a problem with our natural bent. And we are bent the wrong way. We are inclined to do evil. Therefore, it is not wise to encourage a child in the direction of his bent because his bent is naturally bent in the wrong direction. I say that with conviction. It is only proper for a child to follow his bent after God bends it. Let me say it again. It is only proper for a child to follow his bent after God has bent it. Got to have the right direction there. With that in mind, I want you to look again at Proverbs 21 and verse 15. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Look at the word judgment in this verse and in two other verses in the Bible. It means this: to bring matters to the rule of right. It means to administer justice for wrong or even right doing. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about righteous judgment here. We're talking about something that is right to do. And if Rehoboam was to be the just and righteous king that he was supposed to be, he is going to have to be bent that way. In other words, he was going to have to be bent toward righteous judgment, or he would find no joy in doing righteous judgment if he wasn't bent that way. You know, there are some who simply do not enjoy the doing of right. They are bent to do the wrong thing. And the Bible teaches that we need to be bent the right way in order to do that which is right. For example, Psalm 119 and verse 36. Incline mine heart. Oh, there's that word incline. Bend me. Bend me. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Got to be bent the right way. Psalm 141 and verse 4, incline not my heart to do any evil thing. Don't let me bend the wrong way. Don't let me lean into the wrong way. To practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. So we're talking here about a bent, a direction in our lives that needs to be trained. And of course, it's the Word of God that's going to do the proper training. And when it comes to righteous judgment, there are three positions that we can take. All of us, we're faced with three decisions, three directions we can take. Number one, we can practice righteous judgment. That's what we're supposed to do. Secondly, we can talk about righteous judgment. Or thirdly, we can go against righteous judgment. That's the only three directions we can do. You can't just leave it alone. And so with that in mind, what I want us to do is look at I want us to see three aspects of righteous judgment, okay? And I want you to put your listening cap on, turn on your hearing aids, whatever you got to do. Give a good listen to what I have to say next. First of all, about righteous judgment, number one, righteous judgment is acceptable to the Lord. It is acceptable to the Lord. Judge not, the world says. No, there's a such thing as righteous judgment. Proverbs 21 and verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So we understand that righteous judgment is acceptable with the Lord. People always go, though they don't know where it's found in the Bible, to Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, that you be not judged. They don't want us to judge. There's such a thing as righteous judgment, and Christians need to be aware of that. We find that the doing of righteous judgment is acceptable to God. God does not reject righteous judgment. In fact, as we have already studied, it is more acceptable, as the Bible says here, than sacrifice. Righteous judgment is more acceptable than sacrifice. One might say this, when I do right, no one approves. Well, that's not important. It isn't true. They say when no one else approves, God always does. You do what's right, and God approves of that. And he's happy with that when we choose to do what's right. Young people may think that no one notices when they do right, but I want to say this, if there's any young people listening out there tonight, God notices when you do that which is right, and when you do righteous judgment. And in many circles, the doing of righteous judgment is not the popular thing. I've seen these groups. I know who they are. But listen, I'm here to tell you, it is sad to say, but this is true even among Christian circles. Sadly, there are Christians who do not have a good taste in their mouth, so to speak, of righteous judgment. And just for the record, and understand that this is acceptable with the Lord. The Lord accepts righteous judgment when no one else does. Even in Christian circles, it does not matter. When the peer pressure is on, God accepts, is accepting of righteous judgment. I want to give you an example of righteous judgment and unrighteous judgment. I want to give you an example of how righteous judgment is not acceptable even among God's people, okay? Exactly something that happened in my life many years ago when I lived in Casper, Wyoming. One of the teenagers had broken into my office. That was a no-no. They broke into my office and they dumped 5 pounds of sugar or of salt on top of my desk. You say, were they just joking? Doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you why. I have 3 rules concerning my office. Those same 3 rules are here at Timberline Baptist Church. Number one, if my door is open, come on in. I got open door policy. Number two, if my door is closed, you must knock. That way I know you're there and you're not barging in on me and as I'm talking to someone or whatever it might be. And thirdly, if my door is locked, you may not come in. That's just the way it is. Well, in Casper, Wyoming, my office was locked. Well, that night my door was locked and I wasn't in the office, but someone broke into my office anyway and did some very salty vandalism. I asked some teens who had broken, and right now I'm seeing this in my mind's eye. Is that what? Yeah, mind has an eye, doesn't it? I'm seeing this, and I'm looking right now at the young person that I was talking to, and I asked if the teenagers had seen anything. No one confessed. I asked one teenager in particular, one young lady, and if she knew who had broken into my office, and she said she knew, but she wasn't going to tell me because she could never turn one of her friends in for breaking the rules. Not liking righteous judgment. And so what I did was this. That girl wouldn't tell me. So what I did was I made a wild guess. And I said, was it so-and-so? She stood up straight, looked at me, and she said, bingo. that was the one that it was. And they didn't mean it in a mean way, but you don't go into a locked office when no one is there, no matter what you're doing. And listen, as a youth director, I'm here to tell you, we played jokes on each other all the time. We really did. It was not unusual for us to do pranks to one another, me to the teens and the teens to me, and it was all done in a good spirit and all the rest of it, and that was fine. But on this night, my office was locked, and I wasn't in it. I can still see that teenage gal that said bingo. I can see her standing right there right now. And she did good, and she didn't get in trouble by me, but I did help them to know that they needed to let me know when something was not right. So first of all, doing righteous judgment is acceptable with the Lord. Secondly, it is unacceptable to the wicked. Let me say it again. Righteous judgment is unacceptable to the wicked. Proverbs 21 and verse 7. Notice the word of God says, "The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment." Very straightforward verse. The same word that is used here for the word judgment means to bring matters to the rule of right. It's talking about righteous judgment. And it says they refuse to do righteous judgment. So we're not supposed to refuse the doing of right. As the title of this Bible study implies, you do what you are and you are becoming. Right now, everybody in this room, everybody that's within earshot of this message tonight, you are becoming what you are what you're becoming. Right now, you are what you're becoming. And if you don't like what you are right now, you need to change it, because you don't want to be that the rest of your life. Listen now. And a wicked person is not necessarily an unsaved person. The Bible doesn't make that a distinction to where someone who's wicked is always unsaved. No, not at all. But rather, a person who lives out from under God's rule, that would be a wicked person. And there are many believers today, some would be foolish to say, well, they're just not saved. Well, that's silly. You don't know someone's salvation. You have no idea. And you can't make that judgment. That is not a righteous judgment. In the Bible even says that, when Jesus comes back, he's going to divide the wheat from the tares, and he's the one who knows. But right, the only person in this room that I know 100% is saved is me. Now, I believe I can guarantee that all of you are. But as far as knowing for sure, I can bet on my own salvation. But to say somebody is not saved because they do something wicked, every person listening to me right now has done wickedly at one time or another in their life. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter how they were raised or how long they've been saved. It applies to everybody. The word wicked in this verse implies an impiety toward the things of God. Let me say it again. The word wicked implies an impiety toward the things of God. There are many believers today who fit this description, sadly, and all of us have been there at one time or another, and there are some folks who just refuse to do what's right, and that's a shame. Well, the truth of the matter is, the righteous judgment is unacceptable to somebody who refuses to do what's right. Refusing to do judgment, according to this verse, will be the thing that causes many believers to walk away from the will of God. It's sad, but it's true. And so, no wonder Billy Sunday said, "Do right till the stars fall, but do right." That's what we're supposed to do, to choose right. And Christians who are not able to be lured away from the will of God by the world find themselves willing to compromise righteous judgment for fear of even losing a friend, you see. Like the one who said, I don't want to turn in one of my own friends. I'm glad it was only salt, and I'm glad it was only my office, and I'm glad it was only my desk. But what if it would have been something more important than that? You see, doing righteous judgment is acceptable to the Lord, but it is not acceptable to the wicked. And that's why many believers today who choose to do right are judged by the world around them, and even by leadership often. I remember one man, I won't say that. I'll leave that illustration to myself. Number three, I said, first of all, about doing of righteous judgment, it's acceptable to the Lord. Secondly, the doing of righteous judgment is unacceptable to the wicked. But lastly, righteous judgment is a joy to the just. This is incredible truth that's found here. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 15, where we just were a moment ago, notice the words, how it clearly makes this statement. It is joy. Wow. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. So we're talking here about righteous judgment. The just in this verse is not only someone who is saved, but someone who does justly, okay? There are even unsaved men and women in this world who do right, okay? They're not saved. They're not going to go to heaven unless they get saved. But they are happy when someone chooses to do right, you see. But to an individual who does righteous judgment, doing that is a joy to them. Referring back to the title of the Bible study, we find once again that you are what you are becoming. A person who does justice and judgment is one who first lives that way. And this is why it's a joy to him. Now, I want you to notice in this verse a little phrase. Would you look at it? It is joy. It's one of those picture words in the Old Testament that draws for us a picture of an individual smiling, of all things, and having a cheerful countenance because of doing what's right. It's great. You know, a person who breaks the law and gets caught wears no smile. But a person who does what is right can wear a smile because he does what's right. There are those who rejoice at the doing of evil, and there are those who smile at the doing of evil. What a sad thing that is. But this verse teaches us that it's not evil that causes a just individual to smile, but rather the doing of righteous judgment. Perhaps this is where the phrase, and this is where you can put this in your notes because it just goes with it. The doing of right is its own reward. The doing of right is its own reward. The other day, I went into the store. I went into City Market up in Woodland Park, and I made a purchase. I read the sale wrong. You ever do that? You read that little sign wrong? I took my product up to the place where you're supposed to pay for it, up to the register. And it was a self-checkout, so I was getting ready to do that. And the fella who's the manager of the store, been there for a number of years, he came over and he just wanted to help me. We talk almost every time that I go in there and see him. And he took my product. I bought two of them because they were a particular price. And he rang them up, and it rang up at 20 cents off per package. And I said, that back there, the sign said $2.69 a package. He said, it did? I said, yeah. I said, I read it, $2.69. So what he did was he finagled around and he put his little pass or what his password on, and he rang up my product, the two that I bought, at $2.69. And I got to thinking about that. There's a chance I read that wrong. And I looked at him and said, I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to go back and double check the sign because I may have gotten that wrong. He said, okay. I went back with my bag because you got to take a bag in the store with you anymore. And I took my bag back and I read it and it said, buy five and save five, which took the product down to $2.69 a piece if you bought five. And I went, oh, you got to be kidding me. So what I did was I grabbed three more boxes. And I put him in my bag and I walked up and I saw him and I said, you know, I read it wrong. And he said, yeah, buy five and save five. He knew. And I let him ring up those next three, five, and save $5 and put it in there. And I said, I couldn't let this go. And he said these words. He said, I knew you wouldn't. I said, yeah, I got to shave myself in the morning. Got to look in the mirror and see Dan Parton. But he said, I knew you would. And I thought, yes. You know, I walked out of there happy, even though I had to spend more money. But I did what was right because I made the mistake. And I didn't want to walk out of there and have him think, well, you're supposed to buy five and save five. But no, I gave him a discount anyway because he was sure. No, I felt so good after that. And I had five boxes of product, and I thought, this is great. I'm sure I'll do something with it before it's all said and done. And of course, I will. One might say, well, if I do what's right, what will I get out of it? I'll tell you one thing you get out of it is a smile. Because the doing of right pays its own reward. The answer is simple. You will have the joy of doing right inside your soul. And that's what the verse means tonight. As we read this wonderful verse out of Proverbs 21 and verse 15, where the Word of God simply says very, very plainly, let me just read it to you. It says, it is joy to the just to do judgment. Just talking about doing righteous judgment. And I thought, you know, boy, is that ever true? That is absolutely as accurate as it can possibly be. And if Rehoboam were to be the king his father prayed that he would be, he would have to learn the importance of doing righteous judgment, you see. He would have to understand that doing righteous judgment is acceptable to the Lord, and he would have to know that not only is it unacceptable with the wicked, but it's unacceptable. Doing of righteous judgment is unacceptable to the wicked. You see, those who are lawbreakers love lawbreakers. We see that in the news every day of our lives. If you listen to the news or watch the news or whatever it might be, the wicked rejoice and love the wicked. And so If you do what's right, you're going to have a happy heart. You're going to smile. It may cost you something. It may cost you 3 more boxes of product. It may cost you something else. You just never know. But the doing of right will pay its own reward. So let me ask you this question, and I'll be done tonight. What is your response to righteous judgment? That is, what is your response to when someone brings matters to the rule of right? How do you feel about the administering of justice for wrong or right doing? Today we're living in a society where people say, well, that's just not fair. You know, Micah 6:8 is a scripture song that we sing here in our church. It says, it talks about doing justly. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do fairly? No. But to do justly, you see. And that's what we're supposed to do. And loving righteous judgment, as the Word of God teaches us in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 15.